The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Final hour of the show as we head into the late night before Easter. Will you go to the sunrise services at Red Rocks? What are your plans? My family will be going through, as you know, if you've lost a spouse, a matriarch, a patriarch of a family, the next year is a year of firsts. And for my wife, Tana, died on June 3rd. Her 58th birthday would have been June 4th. And so that was, we had our first pretty quick there, and the first Thanksgiving and the first Christmas and the birth of two more grandkids, including our first granddaughter after four previous tries. And now we'll be heading into our first Easter. So we are going up to a very beautiful place in the mountains. We're going to meet, we're going to have dinner with, Easter, probably be earlier than dinner, but, you know, the afternoon gathering with grandkids and friends and a widow who lost her husband a month after I lost my wife that I've become very close to. And, you know, you have to try and create new firsts, right? You have to, especially when you've got young kids, you cannot let the weight and the tragedy that creeps back into your life periodically, going through an estate sale this week. So, you know, all of a sudden the inside of my house is no longer has 27 years of history in it. And that wears on you. That's a drag on every aspect of your health and how you feel inside and all that. And yet, life is, goes on. Life is for the living. The people who leave us early do not want us to suffer, do not want us to lament. And so we're about creating new firsts and new memories and new traditions. Since, at least for my family, they lost their Coco grandma, their mom, and my wife. And so I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to just seeing how it goes. We managed to have a wonderful Christmas with all the sadness that surrounded it. And I think my family is doing very, very well. I'm so proud of them. And can't wait to see how we make new Easter traditions tomorrow. That was always such a big holiday for our family. And not just the spiritual side of it, but the fun for little kids. When my kids were little and now their kids are little, we're going to recreate it all tomorrow. And I, for one, am really, really looking forward to that. So I think the thing that we want to do, since we just had John Eastman on and he was scheduled to be on right about now, thought we might have a little more time with him. He landed early, needed to get to his plane early. And I didn't get to talk to him about the actual claims against him, the charges that will cost him his bar license in California, at least for a while. Appeals, obviously, are forthcoming. A judge's ruling, lengthy judge's ruling. It's just like, man, this is like, I know this is the 75th anniversary of George Orwell's 1984 and this year. And it's like some of these rulings are written as fiction that you just wouldn't believe when you read it in a book. You cannot analyze evidence and only look at one side of it. You have to at least address the other side. And that simply didn't happen. So what I think we'll do is to make sure that it gets played. And since John was so trashed earlier on this station today and so much false information put out there, I think what we'll do this segment is just play the lengthier interview that John was able to have with Steve Bannon on War Room. So you can at least hear his side of the story and draw your own conclusions. I I know there's talk about after that interview with Peter that there were threats to family. And I mean, come on. That's not how we roll. That's not how I roll. That's not how the people that align with me roll. I mean, if true, and I would have known about it and could have done anything about it, it would have put a stop to it. But you're going to tie that to the people who set up, who staged this interview to cause harm to Peter, his best friend, one of his best friends and his former motorcycle buddy. And then you're going to go after his family? Come on. One texter writes in, sounds like a whisper campaign to me. And who knows? Who knows what's true? If that happened, it's of course wrong. But it doesn't stem from people on our side of this argument. The violence comes from the left almost every single time. All right, well, let's get in. I know we've got calls, but I do want to get this played in this segment. So let's go ahead and start with John Eastman with Steve Bannon on War Room.
So, Dr. Eastman, I'm going to answer with fringe, but, you know, no offense. You know, guys like Luttig and tribes held up on the left that he was supposed to be in the Supreme Court. Luttig was a guy who was always on the short list, never got there, supposed to be a genius. You got Conway every night on CNN or wherever he is. He was a partner at Wachtell Lipton. And part of the reason here, just so people know inside baseball, they come in so hard because they want to back off the big law firms from representing anything to do with Trump. The big law firms will not take it on. They'll say, no, we can't do it. It's too controversial, and our clients will fire us, so we can't do it. So you can't get the big law firms, and you can't get those young aspiring professionals, the lawyers who want to make either partner at a big law firm or white shoe law firm or want to go practice there. This is all the way they go use information warfare and go on warfare here. But I want to go back to the fact of the essence of this, is what you proposed – fringe when attorney generals of some of those powerful states in the union were writing this and taking it to the Supreme Court and trying to get standing and doing all these things, and the Electoral Count, the Electoral Count Act of 1887, they absolutely changed it radically and slipped that into a spending bill so it didn't have to be seen in broad daylight. What happened was what you argued. At the end of the day, a fringe theory that you went outside the bounds of what a lawyer in our advocacy system would not take on and advocate for their client, sir.
Before we get to Professor Eastman's answer to that question, let me just say a couple of things. You know, I've gotten to know Steve Bannon. He's appeared at our Tea Party. See him at Republican National Committee or more importantly, Turning Point Action events. And he absolutely encourages the use of his work if it can do any good for some of these people that we care so much about, like heroes, like John Eastman. And before he made that statement, what had played on War Room was a bunch of audio of MSLSD and the Clinton News Network, CNN, and others talking about John Eastman, and now he's losing his license. He's got a RICO charge. We heard some of that nonsense earlier this morning as well, gloatingly. But they were saying because he brought forth fringe theories about the election. And of course, my first response is if his theories were so fringe, then why did the Democrats and never Trumper Republicans have to change the law about the Electoral College Act, as they did in the dark of night, and slip those changes into a spending bill, as Steve Bannon was just talking about? If his theories weren't at least plausible, why did they have to change the law to make them implausible moving forward? But John Eastman answers that question better than I.
Absolutely not. In fact, there was historical precedent, 1796, 1800, 1817, 1837, 1857, 1876, 1960, where vice presidents were asserting authority to resolve disputes over electoral votes. Whether that's correct or not remains an open question. It's never been addressed by any court, by the Supreme Court or otherwise. But one thing's very clear from the founding. The founders did not want Congress having the final say in the choosing of the president. That would destroy separation of powers and turn us into a parliamentary system of the kind we had just rejected. So whether the vice president had that authority or not, it was clear that Congress did not. So all of my recommendations were based on that central fact.
Huh. Go figure.
The second thing is, and Judge Luttig, you know, my former boss, he gave a speech down at the University of Georgia Law School where he admitted he never even looked at the issues before he testified about it in Congress and had no idea there was even a dispute about this. That's disgusting ignorance when he's acting like he knows the answer to these questions and calling me out for being, quote, wrong at every turn when he hadn't even bothered to look at the scholarship or the historical evidence. So these are the kind of things we're dealing with. People have gotten so blinded by their visceral hatred of Donald Trump that they can't even see straight about legitimate legal arguments. Whether those arguments would have prevailed or not is immaterial. The question that they were legitimate questions about open matters of constitutional law. And as a lawyer representing a client, I had an obligation to zealously advocate that client, pressing legal theories that had any basis in merit, as mine all did. And the fact that Congress changed the Electoral Count Act to get rid of one of the clauses in the Electoral Count Act that actually confirmed my views that the legislatures had authority to deal with this issue if their rules on the election were not followed, they got rid of that because that gave support for my position.
No kidding. Support for my position. Lawyers are charged with arguing intensely and thoroughly and aggressively for their clients' positions. And even if it was a fringe aspect of the Electoral College Act that was being argued, even if it was some kind of unique new argument, it's not unethical to make that case. It's not unethical to say, based on the evidence that I've seen, and there's plenty of it, you election fraud denying idiots, that I believe that the election was stolen. And yet, those are the bases upon which John Eastman will soon lose his, or maybe already has, depends on how they serve process down there and whether he's officially received notification. It's lawfare. It is lawfare, and John Eastman talks about that piece as well.
The second thing is...
Oops, wrong one. My fault.
They got rid of it in the dark of night, as you said, and they made the Electoral Count Act, which, as you pointed out, is unconstitutional. It's a usurpation of powers that is not given to Congress. They made it worse, but they got rid of even the one provision in the old Electoral Count Act that supported my position. I mean, it's just this is and yet for advancing those perfectly valid, even if wrong, and I don't think they're wrong, but even if they were perfectly valid and reasonable legal theories that a state's attorneys generals from around the country also adopted that the notion that is a disbarrable offense is going to give vindication of the efforts by the 65 Project, one of whose leaders said our goal is not just to have all these attorneys disbarred, but to make them so toxic in their firms and their communities that right-wing legal talent will never want to take on these kind of legal challenges again. That will clear the path for election fraud and election illegality for as far as the eye can see. And that's what their goal is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's not the end result that they seek. If they get a victory here and there, that is terrific. If they temporarily get a hold of John Eastman's law license, that is a victory for them. But the victory that they're after is the process, the expense, the embarrassment, the narrative that it allows MSLSD and others to foment out there. And unfortunately, with either naive or ill-intended people, even supposedly on our side of the freedom argument, it gives them something to crow about. And with what I know, with what I've learned, with the whole way this litigation and lawfare has unfolded, I work as an attorney in a defamation case. I'm also a defendant in another defamation case involving the same person and Dominion voting machines. With everything I've learned, time is on our side. Go to voterga.org and read what went on there. Get a hold of the transcripts. Watch some of the video. And tell me that the Georgia election wasn't stolen. John, when he was live with us at the end of the last hour, was talking about the tiny margins of error in Wisconsin, in Arizona, and the now proven number of phony ballots, fake ballots, late ballots, on and on and on. I've said this for years. You do not need the machines. You do not have to prove that machines change votes in order to establish that the 2020 election was stolen. And I just love, and it's sad for John Eastman, one of the most recognized constitutional scholars in the world, former law school dean, professor, a Claremont fellow, and a great litigator. I've been by his side several times now, to be having to go through this. But his case may be only the second case where extensive actual evidence, and I'm talking about his disbarment case in California, went on for weeks, where actual evidence is in the record. And they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to address it. They, and including this judge, hangs on to the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machines narrative and makes comments about the fact that, you know, if the government says it, it is so. And they don't want to deal with it. But we're not going away. You are not going away. They can imprison us. They can take away our livelihoods. And where one of me goes down, three of you will step up, because we're fighting for something more important than our individual well-being. We're fighting for the grand ideal of America. Ronald Reagan's shining city on a hill, where the people and their rights are supposed to be protected by government, not dictated to by government. And if God is in charge, if this country is preordained, if the revolution and the victories and the timing of everything, this tiny little ragged army taking on the most powerful military in the world, if God is at play, I believe God is not done with the United States of America. So let's go ahead. I know we're late. Let's wrap up this interview. Then we'll get back to your phone calls. There's a bunch of great texts here. And I forget where I left off. So we'll see if I start the right one this time.
One of the things that's very disturbing in the judge is what she's saying. This thing about when the government deems or the government says it, it's holy writ. Is that the same mentality we had when the government lied to us for years and years and years about the Vietnam War? Was this the same that the government lied to us about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? Was this what the lies they told us about the advancements we were making in Afghanistan? I mean, what is this concept? If the government says it, it's holy writ, and everybody has to kind of bow down to that? What kind of radical interpretation is that, John Eastman?
It's an authoritarian. It's Orwellian. It's, remember Orwell, who 75 years ago this year published 1984. He had the argument right. He had the year wrong. He was 40 years off. But when the government said 2 + 2 = 5, not only are you obligated to repeat it, but you are obligated to believe it. That was the mission. And you were going to be tortured, persecuted by folks from the Ministry of Love if you didn't sign on to the government's lie. That's what we're dealing with here. Bill Barr said without any evidence that there was no evidence of fraud. They didn't do the investigations that he claimed they did. The head of CISA said that this was the most secure election in our nation's history. That was laughable. We had already had evidence at the time that inside the votes had been flipped from Trump to Biden up in Antrim County, Michigan. We've now had audits that show that there is source code where the and this was introduced in the U.S. Supreme Court just last week, source code in the election software, that the decryption code key was available in raw data without being encrypted. And anybody could go in that had access to the source code, change the results, alter the logs, and then back out. This is the kind of stuff we're dealing with. And the government says, oh, no, don't look at what you're seeing here. It can't be true. And you better bow down to what we're saying, or we're going to destroy you.
When we talk about a criminal probe being started, let me go back to Bill Barr to be very blunt and very specific about a guy that's a bald-faced liar. He told the president in the Oval Office, he told people, he's been up publicly, there was no voter fraud at all. He checked, he had the local U.S. attorneys in these districts checked. The Epoch Times, 2 years after that, did a freedom of information and contact, was allowed to contact all those field offices with U.S. attorneys. I think 10 of them or 8 of them, 9 of them came back and said there were no report. We did no study. We were not told to do anything, and we didn't do it. The only one that didn't was Philadelphia, and we know the U.S. attorney at the time was open and sent a letter to Barr to say, hey, there are major problems in here with these mail-in ballots. We've got a problem. We have to deal with it. And Barr told him to stand down. That's what a bald-faced liar Barr is.
Yeah, it is just incredible. And because the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine is on one side, and because certain people are too weak to actually do the reading, do the homework, do the understanding, you know, we heard arguments that on this station that affidavits in court mean nothing. That's why it's allowed to go on and on. But we are not going away, and we're getting closer and closer to exposing the truth. It's why the radical left continues to act the way that they do. And John Eastman, when he was on at the end of last hour, asked me to give you contact information for his Give, Send, Go. His legal fees are astronomical. He still got to face criminal charges in Georgia for simply advising his client. And people have stepped up amazingly for this man. But it's givesendgo.com/Eastman. Very easy. givesendgo.com/Eastman. I would encourage you to go and help a brother out. I know we got full lines, but we're very late here at 727. So let's take our break now. We'll get back to your calls when we return on 710 KNUS. Depeche Mode, all the way back in 1990, as I recall, your own personal Jesus. And we're going to flip the script on remakes with our final bumper song here at the end of the show. But right now at 732, we do have full lines. We're going to jump to those in just a second. There was something what did I do with that? Well, while I'm looking. Yeah, it's just, there's no doubt why Trump is so well loved. I just think that may have been the funniest Trump line. Before we jump to full lines, Charlie Kirk shared this from the Washington Compost. Very, very interesting. After the $25 million haul put together by Barack Hussein Obama along with Bill Clinton and putative President Joe Biden, raised on the same day that Donald Trump showed up in New York for the funeral of the slain New York City police officer. Billionaire donors are returning to Trump. Next month, Trump is planning an event hosted by multiple billionaires that is expected to raise $33 million in one night. No Lizzo, no Queen Latifah, no Stephen Colbert. This would break Joe Biden's $25 million one-night fundraising record set during the funeral of yet another slain police officer. So, listen, we may not have the money the Democrats have, but Donald Trump, who, by the way, on the same day that Tish, Letitia James, AG of New York, was planning to start taking his property to pay off the outrageous Eighth Amendment violating $460+ million fine from the judge there. The appellate court lowered his bond to $179 million. On the very same day, he became one of the richest men in the world when his own Truth Social went public. So I don't know if God's at play. I think he is, but I sure love what I'm seeing, and I've been promising calls forever. So let's start in order with Joe in Arvada. Joe, thanks for waiting so long.
Hi, Randy. I just want to start by, if I can make a visual, I genuflect your diligence to get, I think, the premier legal historian of our country on, who should write this history when it's done, and I'll be right in the front of the line with a large check to buy my couple of copies for sure. And he can get Trump his distribution company to print it, like Lee Greenwood's Bible, the God Bless America Bible, I will pay big money for it, and he'll have to charge a lick because he'll be sued for it by all the Democrat judges that are a fraud out there. Anyway, you should think about writing it with them, and you should also get Garland Favorito in there to write a chapter. It really needs to be documented because, see, this is a fight for the blood of America, folks. You don't understand this, maybe. You think it's just political. No, this is the rule of law being destroyed by Marxist lying judges and Marxist prosecutors around this country are just ripping to shreds our Constitution.
It's incredible, and yet people want to, you know, take shots at folks who are actually standing up and trying to push back on it. The latest statistics are out here around Easter. Chocolate is up 295% during the Biden administration. Eggs up 49%. Beef for roast beef, 29%. Biscuits, rolls, muffins, 26%. Candy, 24%. I mean, the list goes on. And yet people want to not only, you know, try and stop with lawfare, but through insults, through direct lies, take out people who are actually standing up and trying to push back. It's scary, but it also tells me that the radical left is scared to death, or they wouldn't be acting so absolutely insane.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, these people that they're made fun of, like Eastman and Bannon, someday you will look at histories written for and by them, about them, and you'll throw John Woodward's piece of garbage, or I'm sorry, Bob Woodward's trash into the garbage. That stuff isn't history. It's fiction. And these people that call it history, they better get it straight, because it's going to destroy America if you start calling that stuff history.
I'm with you, Joe. I hope you have a wonderful and blessed Easter, and I appreciate you waiting to weigh in tonight. Have a good one.
Bless you.
So we're getting close to the break, but let's try and squeeze in one more before then. Mike in Littleton is calling in. Mike, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Randy. Joe said it pretty well, but, you know, I'm just an ordinary citizen. I'm not in the legal profession, but what I see going on with Eastman, you know, I'm losing total respect for the legal establishment, the whatever you want to call it, the legal profession, and no knock at you, by the way. And I went through the same thing with Peter McCullough and COVID. You see these institutional people that run a profession come after somebody, and they try to control the narrative. They try to tell us what we can, what we're supposed to think and do. And I can't believe where I'm at. I have lost total respect for the medical profession, the ruling hierarchy, and now the legal. I'm behind Weisman 100%, obviously.
Well, it is very, very terrifying, the politicization of the legal system and the bias of the mainstream media. And then some folks who you would think would have some spine and realize how quickly we're swirling down the drain here in this country and be willing to push back. But I guess a lot of people just don't want to get dirty. They just don't want to get, you know, sweaty. They don't want to weigh in, and instead they ride the wave of popular fantasy about what's really going on in this world. They're not willing to fight for the truth.
A lot of people are tuned out. The people that are tuned in are waking up. But it's a minority still. A lot of people just turn the other cheek, if you will. You know, I don't want to hear it. I don't see anything. Or they just buy into the narrative that's been foisted out there, whether it's COVID or whether it's now, you know, January 6th and the insurrection and all this. And So, yeah, now it's a race to see how quickly we can get a critical mass of people to wake up and really see what is going on, that basically a Marxist takeover of a lot of our institutions.
Do you think we're in a spiritual war, or do you think this is just public perception, public laziness, or do we have darker forces at play?
Boy, I'll tell you, I don't know. I see that we've lost track of our fundamental principles, whether it's the Constitution or our history. You know, we've forgotten, or a lot of us have forgotten, and we've also lost track of our spirituality as a people. You know, church attendance and whatever is declining. So, you know, if you lose track of all that, you're going to be lost, and we are lost right now. We are floating around lost, heading in dangerous directions.
You think God's done with America? You didn't know you were going to be cross-examined tonight, did you?
Stressing me out here. I mean, you know, this is big stuff. Well, you know, I've basically, if you turn away from God, if you turn towards God, isn't there lines in the Bible? I'm not a scholar,
sure,
but you know, if you turn towards God and, you know, and admit your faults or your errant ways, you may get some help in return. Otherwise, you may not. You know,
I love your answers to these total surprise questions. I guess as we head toward Easter, I'm just starting to think more along those lines. But
man, you caught me off guard. I'll tell you.
But, you know, here's the thing, Mike. And I hear this. I go to Brave Church with some of my family sometimes. I'm not always in town for it, but. There's a lot of gospel being preached there, and one of the things I love about Jeff, the pastor, Pastor Jeff at Brave, is that he calls out the clergy. He calls out the churches who turn away from the Bible, who are afraid to address immoral and illegal political decisions that are made and all that. And what we know for sure is the huge percentage of Christians who simply don't vote. If those people will get outraged enough and simply get involved, we can avoid more leftism, more Marxism, and the drive toward communism that's underway in our government right now.
Well, I think there's always hope. And so, as you say, I think we've got to do our own long march through the institutions, as the leftists did, probably starting in the 50s and 60s. We've got to do that now, and these institutions have got to be reformed, rebuilt, restructured, whatever you want to say, because they're wandering in the dark now.
100%, Mike. Great call. God bless you, sir. Happy Easter, and I hope you'll call in again soon.
You too. Take care, Randy.
All right. Once again, we are late on the break. Full lines. Well, actually, Mike's line is open now, 303-696-1971. We got a good old commie Dave in San Francisco standing by. Brian in Arvada. We'll get to those calls and more when we return here on 710 KNUS. We're back. I said we were flipping the script on remakes, and that was Johnny Cash in 2002 remaking Depeche Mode's Personal Jesus. And, you know, Johnny still had it, man. He made that remake in the year before his death at 71 years old. And so we've been playing songs related to Jesus and just thinking about Easter and what the resurrection really means, and squeezing in some politics and wondering if God is finished with America. So we've got full lines, limited time, so let's start with our good friend Dave in San Francisco. David, welcome back to the show. Does your body twitch and shiver when we say the word Jesus on this show?
Oh, of course not. Because
most communists don't believe in God, and some of them are real repulsed by him.
Well, they're liars that pretend they believe in God, like you. And there are liars that call other people communists, like you, who is a liar, And there are, and where God would be angry at you for lying about him, I feel more sorry for you for lying about Johnny Cash. That guy has more guts than you ever did. And you, are you getting paid to keep this lie up about Trump winning the election?
That is funny that you say that, Dave.
Are you getting paid?
Dave, that's funny that you say that, because a texter just a minute ago texted in and said, ask Dave in San Francisco who pays him to call in. So who pays you to call in?
Nobody.
Anybody?
Nobody.
All right.
You answer my questions.
Sure.
Are you getting paid to get to lie about the election? Are you getting paid to fundraise from these poor saps that believe that Trump actually won?
God, I wish I could fundraise, but I don't fundraise. Trump did win. Have you ever gone to that website I talk about all the time, voterga.org?
No, he did not.
Have you looked at that 4-week trial, the evidence in that trial? Did you listen to any of the evidence in the months long John Eastman disbarment trial and all the actual evidence that's now of record in courts, both in Georgia and California? Have you looked at any of that, David? Just even one iota?
There's no evidence.
All right. Well, thank you very much for waiting to weigh in. I appreciate it. Let's get to Brian in Arvada. Brian, happy Easter. Welcome to the show.
Well, happy to you, Easter to you, Randy.
Thanks,
sir. The Daves of the world, the CNN flashcard people, I'm not really concerned about. What I'm more concerned about is the people that know that we were cheated, but they're comfortable and they would rather lay and be cowards. Even though they have children and grandchildren, that really concerns me. You know, land of the free, home of the brave. Without the brave, there is no freedom. And these people think they can just compromise with these communists. It's not going to work out, guys. You got to hold their feet to the fire. And if you think for 1 minute that Biden got 81 million votes, okay? For one, we had Zuckerberg putting these drop boxes all over. He only did it in the swing states. And then normally, every election I've been through, they called it the same night, but this took weeks. I mean, come on, guys. It's so obvious in your face, but a lot of people turn a blind eye because of their own comfort. They're comfortable right now. There's a couple of you radio show hosts like you and maybe Matt Dunn that'll stand for what's true. But the rest, they just cower down and they think this is going to correct itself. It's not. The brave people got to stand up. Just like people died for us, okay? They actually died for us, and there's people suffering right now. And they're the first ones to think of that, too, which makes me sick. They'll go up, oh, thank you for your service. But when it comes to their turn, you know what they do? They cower like the punks that are. And I tell you what, there just has to be enough of us that stand up. It doesn't have to be a lot, maybe 15-20%, because there's a lot of people who just ride the river. That's what they do. They ride the river because they're comfortable. They don't think about the consequences coming up. But I'm fighting for my grandkids. I don't even care about myself.
Better believe
I've lived my life.
And Brian, the tide is swinging. The pendulum is swinging. The tide is shifting. I feel it in my bones. I see it on the ground. Happy Easter to you. Have a great weekend. I'm going to try and squeeze one more in before the end of the show, and we'll jump to Jim. Jim, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Randy.
Evening, sir. Got about a minute.
You know, you always say you're the Republican man here. I want to tell you one thing. I am totally frustrated with the Republican Party. Through my good gracious of last election, I gave money to Lauren Boebert and Donald Trump. And I feel like I have just been abused by the Republican Party texting me to death for asking for money. And I just feel like I made a big mistake ever giving money to the Republican Party, because I just can't get away from it. And I don't know if you know anybody within the Republican Party, but I just feel like I don't want to give another dime again because of what they've done.
Yeah,
overwhelmingly with Texas.
I hear you, Jim. This comes up. I'm the Republican National Committee man for Colorado. So we have our meetings several times a year. We make the policies, decisions for the RNC. And the grassroots side, the 30%+ and growing, people like me who are now taking over the Republican National Committee, we bring this up every single time. People are sick of getting lectured to. What, are you no longer a Republican? Do you want Trump to go to jail and lose? I mean, just nonsense. And the answer we get is that it works. They raise more money off of this stuff. And it's not.
Are you kidding me?
I am not. I am absolutely not. It's disgusting. I just feel like they could make a better message. You know,
I almost feel like I don't want to give money anymore.
I hear you.
What they've done. I feel like I wanted to contribute to people, but somehow this goes into a database. When I gave the first time, it said this is for the individual candidate. I didn't think it went into some sort of database. Now I get bombarded literally every day.
Yeah, it's outrageous. And I'm going to tell you a secret, Jim. Don't let this get out. I'm glad it's just you and me talking. But I don't give money to the RNC right now. Now, I'm rethinking that with Mike Whatley and Lara Trump in charge of it, because I know how the money is going to be used now. And it's going to be to defeat Democrats up and down the line. And I think with Trump's hand on it and Lara Trump, you know, keeping, and she's a brilliant woman. I got to spend some time with her and talk to her, that it's going to be money well used. So, you know, we've got to think of our priorities as we head into November. But I hear you, man. I've bitched about it. I haven't donated to the RNC in a long, long time. So music is here. I've got to go, but I appreciate the call. Thanks for waiting to weigh in tonight. Happy Easter, sir.
Happy Easter.
All right. Well, we've only got about 10 seconds left, so let me just tell you, happy Easter. He is risen. I appreciate each and every one of you so very much, but I always want you to remember this.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The Double Champ does what the f*** he wants.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.